home of the stars, through the airwaves and on the big screen. Live from Hollywood, it's Rated LGBT Radio with your hosts, Garrett Miller and Rob Watson.
We're here. I'm Rob.
And I'm Garrett.
And, wow, it feels like forever. We had a best of last week, and that was the first time we've taken a break since we started doing this show.
Well, and I number one, I thank you for letting us do a best of for everybody who's listening, and also to Rob. I was in Phoenix last week for some business meetings and family time with my dad, who turned 81 last Friday. And I realized that trying to do the show remotely turns out to be an absolute cluster. And so I just figured, you know, we'd save our dignity and try to do a best of. But the nice thing was we had a fantastic best of, and we had one of the most requested episodes ever. And we had Wendy Michaels talking about My Sister Is So Gay, the fantastic new web series that she stars in with Lonnie Anderson and Terry Ray. Terry will be on later on in the show. But also she talked about her animal rescue efforts, and especially having to deal with elephants. So I thought that was really awesome.
It's a tough pick, because I think we've had quite a few best ofs so far already. And but that was certainly one of them. So, and one of our animal rescues right now.
Yeah, well, they're in the... So, okay, without going into the whole what's going on with my animal... So, Jennifer, one of my dogs, she has had an issue with her left front paw, and she tends to be a little growly. But what happens is after she eats, she loves to get up on the bed and burrow underneath the covers. But if anybody gets close to her, or one of the other puppies starts to get close to her, you know, she starts to growl and bark. And she's got no reason to, because they're not there to bug her or anything else. She's like, don't come close to me.
Right, right. Well, so, she is entitled. Princess prerogative.
There we go. We've got a fun show tonight here, Rob.
I know, we're so artistic. We're theater, we're TV, we're radio, we're multimedia. You know, you want it, we got it right here.
There we go. So tonight, for the first time, and you know, sometimes Rob and I know our guests ahead of time, and so we, you know, come in with some bias and extra love. So we know our guests, but tonight is the first time I've actually talked to our guest, Jonathan Griffith. He's going to be talking about his TV show out of New York called Talking About. And you can go to talkingabout.info to see the program and all kinds of fun stuff. And then in the second half of the show, we're going to have Terry Ray back on talking about his play Electricity. So before we bring Jonathan on here tonight, Rob, is there anything else that we need to, you know, warn the listeners about so they, you know, sit here with bated breath waiting for us to do all of the fun stuff?
warn them about tonight, or warn them about in the world? Because there's lots of stuff in the world to warn them about, quite frankly.
Well, we'll probably talk about that towards the end of the show, but I guess that would be a perfect segue to bring on our first guest, which is Mr. Jonathan Griffith. And Jonathan, thank you for being here on Rated LGBT Radio. I hope it's the first of many times we get a chance to visit with you. How are you tonight?
I'm very well. I would like that very much, and thank you for letting me participate. I'm really happy to do this.
Well, welcome, Jonathan. See, this is one of those venues where you didn't need makeup.
Did you come ready?
Joking with my boyfriend earlier. It's we were FaceTiming. We were dating long distance. And you look great for the show. And it was, I have a face that's made for radio.
Now, do you find, because your main gig is on TV, that you start living your life through video? I mean, you know, where...
Video and television has been... Yeah, a passion of mine since somebody put a little 8mm camera in my hand when I was, 8 or 9 years old. So it's always been within me, and I've always known that it was something that I wanted to be a part of.
Well, tell us about Talking About. What is the format, and how did you come up with it?
Okay, well, we've been running. We're in our 21st year. Basically, I've known about community. I had known about community television for a while, and I had an interest in it as a creative outlet. You know, I do some professional work in the industry, and this is just strictly for me. And when I was naming the show, I chose Talking About because it kept it very broad. You know, we're talking about an artist, we're talking about a nonprofit. Which, we could learn about different people, places, and things, and share it with the viewer along the way.
So 20 years, that's like a marriage. I mean, that's like this whole life thing that has happened for you. Is there a couple of standout shows that you did that just knocked your socks off that you'll never forget?
There have been on both ends of the spectrum. There's the absolute most horrible experience that you could ever possibly have. And then there are some people who just brought such joy into the program. And I've built some friendships with some of the people who I've met along the way. One of those people is Daniel Bauer, who is an outspoken HIV activist and magician who has an incredible personal story and his journey, and I was privileged to have him share that with me. And like I just said, we've built a nice friendship along the way. I've had the honor of having some artists on the show that are on their way up, some who have gone on to win some major awards. We had Levi Christ on before Million Dollar Quartet hit Broadway. So, we were very privileged to have him come on and perform, even though he had just barely signed the paperwork, so we weren't allowed to talk about Million Dollar Quartet yet.
Right, right. Well, I'm all for having great relationships with former guests. I think, Garrett, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that's how we actually got together.
That was, and I think that's the beauty of social media and the beauty of how a lot of these things work. You end up, meeting people who come onto your show and you say, boy, they're really cool. I want to be their friend. And then the next thing you know, you're doing shows or, you're going to their shows. In the case of like Levi Christ, he is such a talent. I love anything that Levi does. And I play his music on our Friday night dance party all the time. So you've had some good experience, Jonathan. What about maybe some of the train wrecks that you've had over the years?
I know.
20 years, those are always fun to talk about,
You brought it up. Well, you've got to tell us. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, years ago, the show throughout its evolution has had kind of different focuses. I've had a few different co-hosts along the way, and just at one point I decided I wanted to do a holiday special, so I was going to interview Santa Claus. So I had somebody come on, and one of Santa's helpers, for the believers out there, come on, and we were going to discuss Christmas traditions around the world. I had printed up all the research. I said, listen, just look through this. We can have some cheat sheets if you want to. He did not look at the notes at all. It was a one-hour live show. He was the only guest, and it was a complete and total disaster.
Oh, no.
So what do you do?
Was it crickets? I mean, was it the long pauses that...
The long pauses, the beard that wasn't fastened correctly, that he excused himself. He excused himself from the set for a moment, and I monologued. And then when he came back, somebody off stage had the brilliant idea to use duct tape instead of spirit gum.
So
that's a headline right there. Santa was my worst guest ever. I mean,
pretty much. And and early on we were doing, 1 hour, one topic, and that doesn't always work. And that is one of the examples of that. So now we do two or three segments per show, and it flows a lot better. Just like you started your program with a little bit of interaction between yourself. A woman who's been co-hosting the show with me for more than 5 years now, Cara Kilduff. She and I have an excellent rapport. She's a brilliant stand-up comedian, and we can riff on current events. We can just BS with each other and have a good time. Sometimes that's half the show. Sometimes it's 5 minutes. It depends on what we feel like. And we have the ability to do that and carry it out.
So
what is your reach of your show? You're in New York City, right? So is it all of Manhattan sees you?
All of Manhattan sees us in taped format. The live show goes out the first Tuesday of each month throughout Queens and Brooklyn. And then that's a 1 hour format. And then once it's done, I break it down into half hours, and then it goes to the other boroughs and out to Long Island and on the internet.
Right.
So when you started this, Jonathan, did you have any type of broadcasting background or training behind you And how did you jump into this 21 years ago?
I was pretty much fresh out of technical school, which was for television production. So
okay.
There was a school in New York called Center for the Media Arts, which I had just finished, and pounding the pavement, working my first job in the industry, which was a separate story for a separate show, total nightmare.
Okay.
And this was my way of keeping myself sane. So I went through the community channel. They offer a free training program, free access to all the equipment, and all you have to do is pretty much feed your crew and book your guests.
Really?
Yes.
I love that. Rob, we need to go and do you train anybody here, Jonathan, or are you offering any type of mentor program for Rob and I?
I think we're in different states, though.
Okay, well,
Well, we are.
Okay.
Yeah.
We have
so
that.
Speaking of the state you're in, if doing my math, it's not a big – and let me not even go into that. Doing the math – You were doing your show during the actual 9/11. What was that period like?
Actually, during that period, there was a lot of emotion. I acknowledged it on the show, but it wasn't the focus of the show because so many of the people that I work with that crew for me, my crew, we all it's a tight-knit community and everybody volunteers for each other. There's usually, the facility provides one or two people who are staff and paid by the facility. Everybody else has volunteered. And so many people around me were doing shows focusing on that, whether it be interviewing survivors or somebody who I worked with by the name of Chris Delgadio. He wrote a couple of teleplays and actually produced, live-to-tape play productions that addressed a lot of the emotional issues and very emotional time as a New Yorker and as an American as well, but specifically in the heart of it in New York City.
What is the progression from there? I'm sure you've experienced it through the New York culture over the 15 years since then.
It's been a slow healing. I mean, there was a lot of emotional outpouring, a lot of it, a lot of anger, a lot of anger at the response, and a lot of slow healing. The families who are really directly impacted still have a lot of open wounds, and people surrounding that, we're tough skinned, we're survivors, and we keep going.
Yeah.
But that's a New York attitude, but it's also an American attitude. So here we go.
Well, so Jonathan, for your program, how easy is it for you to book your guests and where do you like to draw from when you're encouraging people to be part of your show?
I like working with a lot of different nonprofits, but again, we have different segments throughout an episode. Just to make it a well-rounded show. I like to be informative and educational, but there's also the artistry. Aside from Levi, we've had Justin Utley on a few times, who's a phenomenal talent. One of my favorite bands that nobody ever heard of is a band called Cersei. They're based out of Albany, New York, and they generally can't make it to the studio for the live show. So I've gone to a club into Manhattan to do some remote stuff with them, and anything that sparks my interest, I can hop on the internet and do a little research about it, and then there's some word of mouth. You get one good artist who's got some credibility on the music scene, and they're referring you do justice to them, and they're referring you to other people, and people are reaching out to you, say, "Hey, I like your show, I want to be on it."
So when you – did you do radio ever before going to TV or right out of your trade school, did you go – was TV your first like, okay, this is it, and then I'm on and go?
Yes, on and go.
On and go. Because it's like – how long did it take for you to – because you're 21 years into this now and it's like old hat. It's probably like just rolling out of bed. How long did it take for you to really just kind of feel comfortable about – your skin on the show and doing what you do, were you ever self-conscious about how everything was coming together?
I think very much so in the beginning, and to a degree I still am. You know, you want to put the – it's hard sometimes. I think I don't know if you feel the same way, separating the producer hat from the talent hat, because I'm also co-hosting now. So if I see things that are going on behind the camera, or if somebody's got their headset too loud and they can hear the director through the headset, it's my focus to what's going on in front of them.
We're sorry, your call cannot...
Well, I'm going to hope that we've got Mr. Jonathan on the line with us. And let's see here. I love technical difficulty. And now I'm hearing echoes. Okay, Rob says he can hear me. I can't hear me. I can't hear Rob. And Jonathan thinks we've hung up on him, but we haven't. The Blog Talk internet service died. We tried to call back in, and it kept saying, we can't complete your number as dialed. But then it finally let me in. So I'm trying to get in here. Let's try this again.
Okay. I'm going to say, hello, Jonathan. How are you? We may have lost Jonathan at this point. I don't know. We're going to try this again. Jonathan, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. I love live radio sometimes. So I'm sitting here listening to your entertaining story, and my internet for the show drops completely. I thought, holy cow, because I've been having internet issues this week, and I call back into the show on my phone line, which I'm doing right now, and the Blog Talk hotline says it's having technical difficulties and we can't call in. I'm like, oh, no. So I figured it's just dummy. So Rob apparently is booted off, and now we're hoping that he's going to be calling back in just a couple of seconds. But anyway, so we as we were so rudely interrupted by your fascinating story, I've completely lost my train of thought of where we're at. There we go. So let's just talk about you for just a second. So tell us about you and what's going on in your life. You do this show, it's once a week, and what do you do with the rest of your time?
I do work in the television industry. I've been working in the industry for most of the 20 years that in parallel to doing the show. Working for a major cable network. Yeah, I'm not going to say which one, but there's a really anticipated show that's about to start up on Sunday nights again.
Okay, so we'll just have to guess on which one that is, and we appreciate that. That's a nice heads up for what we're going to do this Sunday.
Winter is coming. I'll leave
it
at that.
Okay, fair enough. And so what do you do with – do you have free time? What do you do in New York City to be entertained and, keep warm in the winter?
To keep warm in the winter, I go to Miami a lot.
How do you make that happen when you have a career in TV that keeps you busy?
Well, I'm dating somebody long distance who lives in Miami, and I'm down there at least 1 weekend a month. So
nice.
I'm fortunate enough to have some time in and have some generous vacation time, so I can usually pad. Yeah, there's usually at least one holiday weekend per month that I can pad by a day, so I can get down there for 4 days.
So how did you meet if he lives in Miami? Was he up on vacation, or were you down on vacation?
We met on a cruise.
I love that. Okay, and what kind of was it, like a Caribbean cruise, or where did you go?
It was a Caribbean cruise. There's a travel agent who puts together a group of about 200 guys, and he puts together a different itinerary every year. And I had been on it for 2 years prior to getting together with him. We kind of knew each other from the group and became Facebook friends, and then just 1 year it happened, and here we are 6.5 years later dating long distance and hoping to set a date to make it official at some point.
So who's going to move where? Are you going to move down to Miami, or is he going to move up to New York?
I'll probably end up down there.
Really? Oh, my gosh. This is like a Harlequin romance or something like this. I love this. Now, what does he do down in Miami? Is that something you can talk about a little bit?
He's a caregiver to a family member who has Alzheimer's. So he's
really
he's
a good guy.
Full-time caregiver.
I love that. Oh, well, I mean, I'm grateful that he has the skill set to do that. That takes a lot of commitment, and that is tough.
A lot of patience.
So do you have, you know, with all the people that you have on the show, because I think that's one of the fun things that I get to do here is we get to talk to people from all over. But with the number of people that you have coming into the show, do you get like comped to all these, you know, big Broadway shows like Hamilton, or I mean, do you have to actually pay for tickets like everybody else? What are some of the perks you get of doing your show talking about?
Well, pay for Broadway, pay for just like anybody else. I tried to finagle it; it just didn't work. But we've gone to the Drag Race premiere a few times. We get to some of the premieres of features and things like that, and sometimes we'll do a little remote for them, but mostly it's pretty straightforward. I mean, I've built up a lot of relationships with some up and coming artists, so you know, some of the local clubs, you know, I'll get in there and just hang out with some really cool people. That's one of my favorite parts of it.
What is your least favorite part of doing all of this fun stuff? Do you have anything that you just absolutely hate? I know what I hate about doing this show, and it's just silly. It's the putting together the, you know, the show things, which takes me, you know, seconds to do, but it's one of those things that, you know, if I can put it off to the last second, I do it every single time. What's something that, you know, you just kind of cringe about doing on your program, even after all these years?
Cold calling people.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh!
I hate cold calling too. I'm a shy guy.
Okay.
I mean, you wouldn't know it because I'm forcing myself to be on for program. You know, for your sake, if I just gave you one word answers, that wouldn't be a heck of an interesting program, and I know that as a host. And I'm sure you've had that happen.
You know, actually, I've been really fortunate. I've not had that happen much. I've had a couple of people who, just for the sake of age or whatever you want to call it, weren't really going to give 14 paragraph answers, and I was prepped ahead of time that, you know, that would kind of be how it would be, and worked around that. But most of the people that come on the show, they know that they're going to be talking for the hour. But I love the fact that you're an introvert.
I've had that happen, actually. I've interviewed people that have had one-word answers, and I had one on my show out in Santa Cruz where it was like, it was a pride group, and I was asking them, you know, it's going to be Pettis. What's going on? And they were, yeah, okay, thank you for sharing. So yeah, it's rough sometimes.
So how do you keep talking about Fresh after creating such a legacy? How has the show changed for you over the years compared to where you started out and to where you're at today?
Well, there have been different people sitting beside me over the years. Right? Mm-hmm. Like I mentioned, currently for the last few years, it's been Cara Kilduff, and she's brilliant. In the beginning, there was a wonderful woman by the name of Christine Callinger, and she was more of a scholar type. So we tackled a lot of highly intellectual topics along the way. Chris Delgadio, who had a very theater-centric presence, so we did a lot of work around theater groups and performers. J.C. Alvarez, who has his hand in the nightlife, so it takes on the persona of whoever's sitting beside me. And I've taken some time off from the hosting chair along the way, so it's given other faces exposure in there to keep it fresh and new.
And I love that you're kind of like this willow in the wind that kind of bends along the way, so it lets other opportunities to shine come through.
You have to be. I mean, that's just the way I live my life. Period.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had my feet entrenched in the mud, and I've been nearly broken because of it. And that I learned the hard way that you have to have some give. I've been kicked where it hurts enough to learn some humility.
Are your guests all
local, or do you have like Huffington Post does kind of a FaceTime thing and brings in people from all over?
That is coming. We just actually were in the middle. 5 years late, we're in the middle of an HD upgrade, and we actually now have Skype capability, video Skype capability. So I'm hoping to bring in some more faces. And once that's up and running, I would love to have you come on and Skype in with me.
You're going to have to twist your arm for that one.
Not hard, though.
Okay.
But I have also gone on a couple of the Florida trips. I've brought a couple of cameras down, and I've done a couple of interviews in the Florida area. A few years back, I did a couple of trips to L.A., and I sat down with some filmmakers and a couple of comedians, and right when the No Hate campaign was coming online, I sat down with Adam Buska, and we chatted about that. And I was very happy to be. Yes, I had some really positive feedback to that, and I had some really negative feedback to doing that, just because, aside from the marriage issue, a lot of people raised the issue about the financials of the org, which I didn't really ask about. And if I were to do that interview again, I would ask a couple of more questions about the financials of that org, but I still think it's a wonderful organization.
There we go. With a couple minutes left here, Jonathan, what else should we know about you, your show, things that are happening in New York?
Well, the website again is www.talkingabout.info. I'm hoping to get some Pride-centric stuff up and running. I was actually, kicking myself. I was in Miami for Miami Pride, and we drove around for an hour and a half trying to find a place to park, and we just gave up and turned around. I was going to have some video of Miami Pride, but going to do some New York Pride. There's a parade in every borough, so I'm hoping to have some footage from every borough. And just through the parade, you see so many different groups, organizations, and people that it's such a talent pool to draw from, and everybody's got a card that they're handing out. So hopefully I'll bring some faces on the show that you would see in the parade, and we can learn about them together.
Cool.
That's
I love it.
That's great.
And for everybody who's actually watching the show on your computer, some people actually dial in on the phone, which is totally cool. But if you're watching the show on your computer, on the show page, I've hyperlinked Jonathan's name and then also talking about one, and I don't remember which is which, but I've hyperlinked them. So one goes to Jonathan's Facebook page for talking about, and the other actually goes to the website. So if you'd like more information on either of those, just click and it will take you right to talking about either the website or Facebook, but both are official. Jonathan, it's been great having you here, despite the fact that we had our contact 11-second moment of silence.
We promised you no video. We didn't mention we were also going to have no audio. That was a new one. So.
No, I appreciate your time, and thank you for having me, and hopefully we can do this again someday. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did.
I love it. Thank you, Jonathan. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Say hi to everybody in New York for us. Thank you so much.
Okay.
So, Rob, I'll tell you, here I was, because again, I was telling Rob before the show, I'm having technical difficulties. Last night, thank God, Zoe Niklaus and Doug Johnston were talking to callers, and I didn't really have to do a whole lot of chit-chat because my internet blew up. it was like I counted 9 separate times where it completely shut down during the course of that 90 minutes. I'm like, this is just going to be just a nightmare. So I'm thinking, oh, okay, it just, you know, died again. Let me try to call in anyhow. So my apologies to Jonathan, but what a trooper he is for being so patient and persevering and calling in. We're going to take a real quick commercial break. It's a shameless plug for my album, Blonde Jesus, and a, you know, if you need a little caffeine in the evening, Rainbow Brew is the place to be. But we're going to come back in just 1 minute with Mr. Terry Ray talking about his new play, which debuts next Friday night, called Electricity, right here in Los Angeles. Stay tuned. Hey everybody, it's Garrett Miller. Check out my brand new album, Blonde Jesus, voted number one rock electronica, and the hit single, Gay Wedding.
It's a nice day for a gay wedding.
Buy your copy today at GarrettMiller.com.
When it comes to coffee, freshness is queen. That's why Rainbow Brew believes you should have the freshest coffee, roasted to order in small batches and delivered to your door within a couple days. Whether you're purchasing for a coffee shop, restaurant, or home, Rainbow Brew is your one-stop shop for fair trade and organic coffee. Offering many unique blends, including AM950's own Blue State blend. That's Rainbow Brew, the queen bean, a proud sponsor of the Morning Grind. Online at rainbowbrew.com. Brew something good today.
So we are back, and we're welcoming right now Terry Ray, star of My Sister Is So Gay, and lots of other things, but he has a brand new play that's coming out this next Friday night called Electricity. Terry, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Hey, Garrett. I'm excited to be with you on this very fantastic
Yay!
Night.
Yay!
Welcome, Terry.
I love the picture.
Hey, everybody.
We're the miracle show. The fact that we are on the air right now is a miracle. So, yay.
I saw you guys were having technical disasters. I was sending you good juju, and it all worked out, right?
It's only because of your good juju are we still now actually being able to talk to you. So out of all your years of stuff, what are some of the things that have happened, you know, while you're kind of like live on the air or, you know, where you just kind of have to ad-lib it until things get worked out? What are maybe a couple of stories that have happened to you, you know, especially since you're coming up to a live performance next week?
Well, I've got a lot of theater ones. One time I was in this musical called I'd Rather Be Right, which is an old Rodgers and Hart musical. And we had this like musical number where we did like folding chairs. I mean chairs to, what is it when you like take away a chair every time? I forgot what that's called.
Musical chairs.
Yeah. And this guy that was a real good friend of mine was in a fat suit, and he had to sit on my lap and to grab the chair, and the chair collapsed and my hand was in it. And I thought my finger was gone, but he didn't know. And he was like rolling around on top of me, and my hand was in the chair. And so I got up and I put my hand in the pocket. It's like, if my finger's not there, I don't want to know. And so I had the entire scene not knowing if I had that finger.
That I have heard stage horror stories. That one is a new one. I had my finger. Oh, God.
I have a dent in that finger still. It's like, yeah, it was, I thought it was gone. I really did. But
okay. So officially the next time I see you, I want to see that finger and I need to see that dent.
I'll show you. It's my finger dent. Yeah. Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So how is
rehearsal going?
Oh my God. It is so exciting. I mean, I mostly do comedy, and this is like, you know, hello, major thespian action, and I am loving it. Every day is like, wow, an adventure, and we're on stage the whole time. There's two people, and it's quite the ride, and I am loving it. As an actor, I'm loving it. As a playwright, hearing my words coming at me and coming alive in ways that I never thought of, and it's just really exciting. I can't, all day was like, okay, when does rehearsal start? How much longer till rehearsal? And then as soon as rehearsal's over, I'm like, okay, rehearsal tomorrow is when, and how much longer is that? So I just so can't wait. I love rehearsal, and it's just a brain workout that I love it.
So tell us about the show Electricity, and you know, what was the brainchild behind that?
I would like to say there was a brainchild behind it. I wanted to write something with no other input. Does that sound weird? Because I've been writing television and some TV movie stuff, and you get a lot of notes, and sometimes it's like, oh gosh, I would rather not have to take this note, but you don't have that choice when you're doing television. So the story doesn't ever wind up to be really the story that you had in your mind. And so I thought, what is the one medium that the writer is the last word? And really the only place that is, besides being a novelist, is the theater. So I thought, I want to write a play. And this story just sort of poured out. I wrote the first draft in 3 weeks, and I fussed with it after that, but it just sort of just poured out, and it was super exciting to do it.
So one of the characters is virginal at the very beginning, and one is kind of much more, shall we say, seasoned. What parts of you went into those guys?
Well, I wrote both parts. So, in my imagination, I can live both of those lives. I play Gary, the more virginal one in the play. I probably relate more to him, but I also can relate some to Brad, the not so virginal one as well. So they're both two sides of a coin, I guess. But they're not me, neither one, but I can relate more to Gary.
And so for the play that opens next Friday night, how long is the run, and what are show times and things like that that people need to know about here, Terry?
Wow, that's such a good question. Okay, we premiere on Friday, April 22nd, but we actually have a little preview night the night before on Thursday the 21st, and we normally play Friday, Saturday, and Sunday for 5 weeks until May 22nd. And you can find out all information at the website, which is electricitytheplay.com. And here's a little inside tip. I mean, we do have some half-price tickets on Gold Star that are still available. A couple days are sold out, but there are still some Gold Star tickets available for people who want to get some half-price action going on. So go for that. And it's at Two Roads Theater, which is on Tujunga in the Valley, in a really cute little neighborhood right near the Aroma Cafe. A lot of people know that. There's, like, nice restaurants. There's free parking. It's an easy night at the theater, and it's a play that we haven't mentioned the premise, but it's two guys that really they hook up after their 10th high school reunion, and it's a little bit like Same Time Next Year in that they continue to see each other every 10 years in the same motel room at every reunion, and it starts in 1983 and goes to 2013, and there's during that span of time, life style and the world and acceptance of gay life has changed so radically, and you get to see that reflected in these two struggling characters' lives. And are they ever going to get it together? It's a fun ride. It's serious. There's some comedy. It's nostalgic for anybody who's lived through it. You can really relate to these guys. So I'm very excited about this show.
Well, I can't wait to come see this. I was talking to Michael DeCaro and his partner Renee today, and we're trying to figure out if we can coordinate dates to come see it all together. But I think I want to see it before they're going to be able to see it. So my goal is to try to make it next weekend. I'm looking at my calendar like I need to do this on radio because that's so exciting. But I'm thinking it's going to be Sunday the 24th is when I'm going to try to make my way up there to take a look at that and see. But I love I can't wait. And like you said, there's no reserved seating, so I'm going to push my way in front of everybody so I can be front row and see your smiling
face.
Yeah,
you're tough. You can knock people down. It will be fine.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah. Well, you're blonde Jesus. You just part the audience. Oh, that was Moses. Sorry. That was blonde Moses. My mistake.
Blonde Moses. There we go. Terry, anything else we need to know about life in general that's going on in your world before we let you go?
My entire world is electrified right now. It's all electricity all the time. But I am, you know, we've got my sister Soge is up for 7 awards next weekend for the LA Web Fest, which is pretty exciting. So there's that, and we're going to be doing some more stuff with Don Wells and I, where we kind of spoof Gilligan's Island, and I have a game show Hulu called Moth Couples. So that's doing really well, and we'll probably go into production for some more episodes of that. So all of that's kind of on the horizon, but right now, all about the play. I'm super excited about the play.
Oh, I can't wait to see it.
Terry, thanks. I know you're headed back to do rehearsals and get ready for stuff, so we're not going to force you to stay here any longer tonight, but I sure appreciate you taking time out. Everybody, there's a link to Terry Ray's play, Electricity, on the show page. You can click that for all of the information that is important that you know about to make sure you're part of it, starting April 22nd next Friday, or even the preview next Thursday night, the 21st. So, Terry, thanks for being here. I appreciate you being part of the show once again. You saved the day.
Thanks, guys. It was so nice of you to have me on. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Terry. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So, Rob, it is such a shame that you're not going to be down here and, you know, get to pal around with me and hang out to go see Electricity. So I'll have to give you a review after I go
see
that.
Well, that would be great. I know, I was sitting here thinking, you know, someday we're going to have a guest on the show that has something opening in Santa Cruz. And I can say, oh, you know, I'm going to make it over there to see you. And you'll go, damn.
Well, who have we talked to that said, okay, you know, we can make something happen in Santa Cruz? That was not too long ago, and I can't remember who that was.
Oh, I don't know. Well, we just got invited to be on TV in New York City. I mean, that's pretty cool.
Well, I would love to do that. So, by the way, speaking of other programming that's coming up here, what's happening this Saturday night on Out in Santa Cruz?
Well, on Out in Santa Cruz this Saturday night, we have kind of a hodgepodge, actually. We were talking to folks about the upcoming Queer Youth Leadership Awards, which is kind of a unique thing that happens up here that honors high school and junior high school LGBT students and allies, and really focuses on that part of the community. And I actually get extremely inspired by these kids. Some of them are just so articulate and so amazing, and it's really wonderful. And we're having some other community folks talking about other hodgepodgey things kind of in the community, trans issues and a couple of other things. So it's a real community-oriented show this Saturday.
And that's outinsantacruz.com for anybody who's not live in the Santa Cruz, California area. And that's 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time this Saturday night. So tune into that. You also have all of your shows available on demand or in the archives. How do people access those?
If you go to ksco.com, that's ksco.com, towards the bottom of the homepage, there's an Out in Santa Cruz link, and they're by date. The most recent one is one that, you know, if you want to really see what the show's about, listen to that one. It is with actress Beth Wright. She is fantastic. She's been in so many things. She's one of the co-stars of The Mindy Project. She had a very visible role in Tu Wong Fu years ago. She's been in just an amazing amount of work. She plays bad guys. She just has the most fascinating character parts that she plays. And she was amazing on the show, told some great stories, and that's one that you definitely should take a listen to.
Well, I can't wait to, and we're going to try to get her on this show as well. Rob keeps saying, you know, we need to get her on here. I'm like, yes, let's make that happen. So that'll be fun when we have that opportunity. So some quick shout outs just to some folks who are tuning in, who are pinging me on Facebook. We've got Eric out in Mesa, Arizona, Gail up in Placentia. Robert, I have no idea where you're at, Robert, but thanks for saying that you're listening tonight. We got Tony G out in Hackensack. Richard's up in Hollywood. Adara is in Austin. Paul's in upstate New York. Tony's up in Hollywood. Steve's in Chicago. Rebecca's up in Naples. So I want to say a big thanks to everybody who's tuning in live tonight. And if you're listening on the replay, we want to thank you for tuning into Rated LGBT Radio. We're live every Thursday. And Rob, is there a reason that we were a half an hour early today?
There is. I can't go into a lot of detail on it, but I am actually speaking live at 8 o'clock tonight across town on the subject of alcoholism. So yeah, I've got more talking to do once we're done.
Okay. So you know, next week we'll twist your arm a little bit, Rob, and see if you can give us some insight. But, you know, one of the things that I really admire about Rob is that he is very involved in the community and is never afraid to jump in and when asked to volunteer or be part of something. And so, I know that we'll have a good story about that. So I appreciate that. So, hey, by the way, tomorrow, if you're interested, and who wouldn't be, we've got the Friday. And I say it like that because it's not the Friday night dance party. It's the Friday dance party starting at 1:30 p.m. Pacific time. Singer-songwriter Billy Grima is going to be on the show in hour number one. We'll be talking to him about his music. He's got a new album that's out. And then we're going to have in the second hour DJ Grant Smith. He's the resident DJ on Sunday afternoons at Rage Nightclub in West Hollywood. And that starts like at 4 in the afternoon. I've been there a couple of times when Grant's been spinning his magic. And I will tell you, Rob, one of the things that really surprised me, because, you know, I don't drink. And if I'm going to go someplace, I'm having bottled water or iced tea, or I can have a glass of water. I don't need to be a snob, but you know, I'm just having water or iced tea, something like that. And when I was there for, I'm trying to think who was performing, and I should know this, but I can't even remember. I think it was Jessica Williams. She was there performing, and we ordered, you know, bar food. You do not expect bar food to be decent anywhere. And they brought out quesadillas, and they brought out a wide variety of different food options. I think it was still when I was eating a couple of French fries, and I had some French fries, which sounds silly to be excited about French fries, but you know, we've all had bad bar French fries. The food was great. So if you want to have some snacks, even if you want an adult beverage, you can go to Rage Nightclub Sunday starting at 4 o'clock, and you'll hear DJ Grant Smith. He's going to supply the second hour of programming this Friday afternoon. And so it's going to be an hour of nonstop remixing that he's provided to the show. So if you like some disco, like some dance music after hearing Billy Grima on Friday afternoon, well, you're in for a treat, and I hope you tune in. And then on Saturday morning, we've got a 90-minute spectacular, and that is, of course, on Super Gay Radio, starring Paul in Mass. We're welcoming back Frank, who has his drag persona, Miss Viola, for his RuPaul review. And then Miss Kasha Davis joins the show as well in this 90-minute extravaganza. Paul has booked both of these people to be on the program. Excited to have Frank back again. He's usually on with us each week to give us the recap of what's been going on. And I like the fact that Paul and Frank can banter back and forth because I don't have cable. I'm not complaining. It's just that's the way life is right now. And so they can actually have in-depth knowledge about this performer or that performer, what actually happened on the episode versus Paul. I'm assuming there was a drag and there was a race, and hopefully, you know, it was a fun drag race.
Right.
So they bring a great conversation to the show. So that's this Saturday morning for 90 minutes. If you are a writer of any sort also in Southern California, I will be going to the SCWA, Southern California Writers Association meeting this Saturday morning at 10 o'clock for a lively monthly meeting. I'm going to be a guest there, but you'll have a great public speaker. You'll have a great guest speaker that's going to be speaking on the writing and their journey and all of that good stuff, kind of like what we do here. If you listen to Tuesday's show with author Caitlin Rother, that's where I met her. She's the best-selling author of 9 novels that have hit the New York Times bestseller list. I think that's a first for an author that has had that number of number ones. We've had best-selling authors on the program before, but if you're interested at all, contact me for information on the SCWA. So if you want to be a writer or are a writer and would like to participate in a fun group of networking opportunities, that's a place to be on Saturday morning because it's informal, everybody's friendly, it's nice, and we meet at Claim Jumper in Fountain Valley, which is really Huntington Beach, but it's off of Brookhurst and the 405. So if you want to come down and say hello, please do so. And I'm going to be taking a big group picture for some advertising we're going to be doing for them. So if you are in the area, come and get your picture taken because I'll do that. So that's kind of what's going on for the rest of the week and in my world here. So Rob, in the exciting world of writing that you do so well, what is going on in the world of LGBT issues?
Well, actually, I had an interesting dust up in, it was a form of writing, on Twitter this week, and it actually kind of impacts our show as an option, although it'll be interesting to see what you think about this. As you are probably aware, there's issues with North Carolina passing this horrible anti-LGBT bill. And as a result, different artists are canceling concerts there, including Bruce Springsteen, and the most recent one was Ringo Starr. So when Ringo canceled his concert, you know, the fun thing, if you play on Twitter, you can see these trending things. And when you see a celebrity's name trending, it usually means one of two things. One, that they're dead, or two, that they have endorsed Donald Trump. So that's usually one of the two things. That makes it the
isn't that the same thing?
Friend. Well, Ringo didn't do either of those. He was trending because he canceled this concert. So I went over to the trending thread and was kind of looking around. And a personality who is one of these virulent anti-gay pundits, for lack of a better term. He's, you know, conservative, supposedly Christian. I don't agree with what he represents as being Christian, but that's what he calls himself. His name is Dr. Michael J. Brown, and he is in his circle a quote-unquote expert on the Bible, which means he decides what it's going to say and makes it say it by kind of pasting different quotes all together in a thread. But he likes to put people on the spot and prides himself on, you know, breaking people down, basically. I'm going to jump ahead in the story, but he shared one clip of a lesbian and a couple that after talking to him, she left her marriage and, you know, found Jesus and wasn't that wonderful. Michael J. Brown put a comment in the trending thread about how he needed to do an open letter to old rockers and their hypocrisy on pulling out of North Carolina. And I went in on his tweet and did a quote of it and put, I need to do an open letter to old pseudo Bible experts, quote unquote, about, you know, what is fair and true. So, you know, I put out my little snide thing. Well,
I love it.
Yes. You'll never guess what I picked up on my Twitter thread. We started in and he came back on one thing and I came back on another, and it was, you know, basically snark on snark, type comments. You know, I'm prejudiced, but I think I handily whooped him because he came back with me a few things and I gave him my comedic snide comment back, and he would then change the subject, which usually means, you know, score. But end of the story. So he wants for us to meet up on his show or quote unquote mine, which would be presumably either this show or out in Santa Cruz, where we weren't going to be constrained by 140 characters in a Twitter back and forth. So I'm not inclined to do it, but it was an interesting exchange.
Well, you know, it's tough when you have people who are really experts at, you know, only tearing things down or being these wordsmiths that, you know, twist everything around. And you end up with these really bad experiences. You know, I'm not one of those. So if I start, if somebody wants to get in a war of words with me, I will lose every time.
Right.
You know, I don't know. I think it's interesting because he's already got a game plan. So even if you had all your facts in order, he's going to be the person that will either overtalk you, yell, scream, and whatever, and just end up making it be, you know, a horrible thing. So I'm not sure if it's going to be a win for anybody at that point.
Yeah, no, it's, and that's why, you know, a lot of people have chimed in because I just shared about the exchange, and, you know, I'm in my friends group are a lot of people who are very pundit oriented, and several have had, you know, encounters with him, and, you know, it's like going on Fox News. It's sort of like, why, you know, you come out of it, and even if you come out successful, it just feels icky. So,
yeah.
It's not something I want to necessarily dive in and pursue, but it was just an interesting experience.
Well, I think that there are times and places for interesting experiences. And as much as this sounds ironic to say, I don't think this show is one of them. So we have different interesting experiences that we are able to have here, but that's, if you want to bring him on, Rob,
I'm not, that wasn't a, well, okay. Let's let the listeners decide. If you guys think we should have him on, send us comments about that and we will consider it. But otherwise, we'll plug on.
But, there we go. You know. So, with 3 minutes left here, Rob, what else does the world need to know about you and your world tonight?
I was just going to point out, if people do want to see that Twitter exchange, my Twitter handle is @JNJDad on Twitter, and you can find my page there and you can read the back and forth for yourself. But other than that, it's so great to talk to you. I missed you, which
I know,
is weird. We could have talked even though you were in Phoenix, but whatever.
Well, we talk on Facebook and we check in with each other every once in a while throughout the course of the week just to make sure, heartbeats are still going and things like that. But it's odd now that we kind of have this little Thursday ritual of Rated LGBT Radio that if we don't talk and have the show, I do feel kind of, sorely disconnected from you.
I know. So anyway, we're back.
We're back, everybody.
And thanks to the listeners who held on through our little technical difficulties tonight. That was
Now here's something that's going to be going on as well. So we got like 2 minutes left. So I'm telling Robin, we've talked about this before. Next Thursday night, I am not going to be here for the show because I'm going to be either getting awards or I'm going to an award show. I'm not sure what's really going on, but it's called the Academia Awards in Los Angeles. It's actually held in Pasadena, and that's going to be next Thursday night at 7:00. And that is coincidentally the same time we do the show. So we're going to get Rob up to speed on how to run the board, and he's going to be flying solo next week for the show.
So
it'll be great.
Be afraid.
Be afraid. Be very, very afraid.
Yes.
That'll be fun. So, but that's going to be happening next week. And then the week after, we've got Gregory Blair, who is an actor and writer in Hollywood. He'll be joining the show in segment number one for Rated LGBT Radio. That's on the 28th. We're, as much as we love having two guests the show, I think we're really trying to just stick with a one guest format, just so we have time to chat about the other stuff that we want to get in. And but if we if we've got folks that want to come on the show, we're certainly going to say that's a great thing to have happen.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Anyway. Yeah. So with that, folks, please go out and buy my album. My shameless plug is to buy, Blonde Jesus. Go to my website. I'll actually see the money. I've got a new program set up with Wix, who are my domain providers, and I always love it if you do that or spread the word. Sweat and Testify currently is number one for the second week in a row on number one music for hip-hop across America. Gay Wedding is back up to number four on their charts, and we're doing some really cool stuff. So as everybody is out there, supporting the cause and all of that, thank you for being part of the program here. Follow the show. And if you like it, tell your friends. They don't have to tune in all 6 days a week. We're live. You can just tune in for Rated LGBT Radio on Thursday nights and listen to the rebroadcast anytime you want. We always think that's cool. So everybody have a great evening. And on behalf of Rob and myself, we will see you live next Thursday. Take care, everybody.
You've been listening to Rated G Radio.